Record-setting winds and high temperatures combined with dry conditions set up conditions for a round of devastating fires in western Kansas. What damage did it cause? And what's next for farmers and ranchers in the affected areas? That's today on a special edition of Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau. Thank you for joining us today for Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau. I'm Noah Ochsner. Last week, as temperatures climbed to record-breaking numbers across Kansas, on the western and central plains, winds clocked nearly 100 mile-per-hour gusts. High winds combined with already dry conditions set up catastrophic patterns for fires across multiple counties in north-central regions of Kansas, burning over 400,000 acres of land. Other fires also sparked in western Kansas but did not burn nearly as far. Kansas Farm Bureau is committed to supporting farmers and ranchers across the state as they continue to clean up. KFB CEO Terry Holdren and 6th District Director Brandon Wirth join me to talk about the organization's response and the next steps forward. Okay, I'm joined here with Brandon Wirth and Terry Holdren here with Kansas Farm Bureau to kind of go over what the response has been in western Kansas after severe weather struck and caused a lot of damage in the western part of the state. So Brandon, if you could first just start off telling us what you've seen from members and what you've seen the damage to be on the ground there in western Kansas.
No, I've had a fortunate opportunity to work with some amazing people on the ground that have been severely impacted by the weather last week. And I can tell you, I unfortunately had the opportunity to see some farming and ranching operations that are completely devastated. I would also almost describe it as apocalyptic when you see the numbers of dead animals and loss of hay stocks and calving and livestock facilities and homes. Yet in the same time frame, the amount of giving and support and community and the will of good-natured people is just overwhelmed. A part of the state that most people just pass through and don't get a chance to spend a lot of time in, but they're flocking from all over the state and the country in order to try to pass along some amazing charity and stewardship to folks that are in a really trying time right now. So I wish it's not all devastation. There are some really bright lights to all this, especially as we approach the holidays, of how good people are being to try to help some farmers and ranchers that and community members that are just facing some severe devastation, not just monetarily, but in operations that they've spent lifetimes building, the genetics, sweat and toil on land that is literally scorched earth. So it's been a real awe-inspiring last week of seeing absolute devastation, yet amazing people on the ground trying to help out of communities, most people they've never even met.
Yeah, so what has the response been to all of this damage? I mean, we were talking earlier, this has happened twice now in the past so many years here in Kansas. So what has the response been from Kansas Farm Bureau to these members in western Kansas?
Well, our organization has really tried to make an effort to connect people. That's what I feel like where our volunteer network really starts to engage, and other people in our industry start to struggle. Our nature in our farming and ranching communities is to, how do we go help our neighbor? And in times like this, when our neighbor's down and having trouble, the neighbors from across the county, across the state, and across the country decide to step up, and what can I offer? And I'm not offering credit, or I don't want reward for doing it. I don't even want recognition. I just want to show up and help and do work and go home. And just know I did the right thing to help somebody. So the response has been everything from loads of hay to fencing supplies to labor to helping dispose of dead animals, which is a monumental task in and of itself. So you can start thinking about rebuilding, start thinking about what the future brings, try to find some peace and comfort as we enter into the holiday season, to know that that these folks want and need and will have a future in where they live, and be able to take their operation back to what it once was. And I know some of them will have even thought about, how do I come back from this and build and make it better? How do you take this tragedy that has happened and make it something that we can learn and grow and make our operation and what we do in our lives even stronger?
Thanks, Neil. I would just probably build that out a bit more and start, you know, kind of at a statewide perspective. When you think about what happened last Wednesday into Thursday, fires over about 400,000 acres in the state. And that's not just that four county region, you know, around Ellis and Russell counties. But we had reports of fires in Graham County, Wichita and Scott counties, as well as some other parts of Kansas. Our partners at Farm Bureau Financial Services report claims from 101 out of the state's 105 counties from either wind or fire. So substantial loss across the vast majority of Kansas. Obviously, you know, sort of the epicenter being out there in that Russell, Natoma, Paradise area. And the devastation that Brendan describes is real and significant for folks. So, you know, our role at KFB in times like this, like Brendan said, is really to capture and build on the goodness of the human nature of folks who are gonna pitch in, gonna be there and provide the support and you know, in not only just the monetary support, but the physical labor, the other things that people need. So several things that we have done, we're partnered with the Kansas Livestock Association in a fund for disaster relief. So folks can go to their webpage and make contributions. We're aware of also several local funds at banks in the area that have been established. And then, you know, in the modern era of the internet, you know, there are GoFundMe sites. So folks who want to help out really have an opportunity to find the place that makes sense for them to give and to do so. We're also partnered with the folks at Hitchpin, which is a partner of ours in other things. They're an online app-based, you know, technology company that really was stood up to create connection between farmers who need services and farmers who can provide services. In this instance, the platform is shifted and is philanthropic in its nature, in that it, you know, if you've got hay that you want to give, you can post it on there. If you've got a need for hay or other things, you can post on there as well. And the app will connect the two ends of things and help folks get the things that they need directly delivered to their operation. We're struggling a bit with that in the back end. We have lots of folks who are posting and ready to give supplies and donate fence posts and other things, right? But struggling a bit to connect the dots with folks who need things. Those are the folks who, you know, obviously are facing a lot of things right now. And we understand that. And it's a little bit difficult to post on an app when your cell phone doesn't charge because you don't have any place to plug it in, right? So we're trying to work through the logistics of some of that at this point to try to make sure we have folks connected. The response on the ground has been tremendous. The supplies donated have been, you know, locally and other places have been really just astounding and kind of overwhelming for those of us who are engaged to see. So those things will all continue. Like Brendan said, trying to sort the long-term impacts. Unlike the other two fires that you mentioned a couple of years ago, the first in Barber County and then the second several years or a couple years later in the Clark County area, this one is larger, spread over more counties and more space. We're also about 5 months until we get the spring rains that would revive the grass. So the long-term implications of both dust and smoke on cattle plus the lack of feed at this point in time really puts ranchers in a fairly precarious decision-making place about whether you leave cattle where they are and try to bring feed to them or whether you put them somewhere else in some other place. And I think that's the next place. The other thing that the KFB Foundation will do or is doing is try to focus on the mental health needs of this thing. As you know, it's devastating and, you know, gut-wrenching in parts of Kansas these days. And we want to make sure folks have the resources they need. If they need someone to talk to, our foundation at Kansas Farm Bureau will fund that aspect of things. We're working on the practical implication or administration of that right now, but want to make sure that folks are aware that getting mental health is important, and taking care of those sort of emotional, mental, spiritual needs, if you will, is a pretty significant part of this, and that folks have the ability to do that when and where they need to. One of the resources that's already available to that is a site called Kansas Ag Stress. It's part of the KDA and Research and Extension Network that provides 800 numbers that folks can call and talk to someone immediately if they've got, you know, if they're dealing with things or struggling with things. So those are all resources that are really great. And probably the homepage, if you will, for all of the relief efforts that we're trying to funnel supplies through is a page on the Kansas Department of Agriculture site dealing with disasters and fire relief. So folks can go there and just take a look at what's currently available. We're building that site out daily so that folks have access to the information and resources they need.
So what's next in means of not only a state response, but is there going to be a federal response, or is this just going to kind of be locally controlled and looked after?
So I'll go first. Brendan can give you the boots on the ground perspective. The governor declared, made a statewide disaster declaration last Wednesday. That puts in place some of the things we saw early on, National Guard helicopters deployed to put the fires out. There are likely other state resources that can be available as needed. So we're working through what that looks like and how we help emergency response folks on the ground coordinate from the local perspective with what's available from the state's perspective. From a federal perspective, once we're through sort of the initial kind of, assessment and initial recovery phase, like Brendan mentioned, you've got dead livestock to dispose of, you've got to find immediate housing needs for some folks. There are federal programs through USDA for some of the livestock losses, some of the grass losses, and potentially for the need to purchase or bring in additional hay or feedstocks for cattle in the longer term. So we're working with FSA and the other federal partners, the delegation as well, just to make sure that the folks have the information they need. There will likely be a producer meeting at some point in the next 6 to 10 days-ish to help folks understand those processes. We would encourage folks who are impacted to call FSA as soon as possible, just to make sure the county office knows that, you've had a loss, you're likely to incur damages, and then also to document this. It's a federal government program, so documentation is key always, but pictures of things, notes about things are important as folks begin to really conclude that assessment phase and move to the next part of recovery. So look for that announcement at that meeting is what I would say, but I think we'll try to put enough information in people's hands to make intelligent, informed decisions and be in the right place to get the help they need.
I would say from the local perspective, what Terry's talking about in terms of what guidance and opportunities and support comes from the state and national level will be extremely welcomed. Nobody wants to have to rely on those entities as part of their future planning process, but in this case, they'll be very welcomed. I do think if you look at it from on the ground perspective, there's a salvage component that has to happen, a cleanup, a process you can't rebuild your house, your livestock, your fences. So you clean out what has been destroyed, and that discussion's happening now. And how do we where do you start? How do we take care of the cattle that died and dispose of them? Then how do we take care of the cattle that are still alive and the people that are helping take care of them and where do they go? I also think this holiday season is going to be tough for some folks. We're right a few days before Christmas and the New Year's and a time of celebration and reflection. I really think thoughts and prayers to the folks, and that they know that there are many, many people in the agriculture industry thinking about hoping and wanting to help them this holiday season, hopefully provide them comfort. And then I think it's, like I said, a chance to reflect and how do we rebuild? There's literally thousands of miles of fence. I would imagine, at least for sure hundreds that will have to be rebuilt. I think really will take a monumental effort, as we've seen from previous fires. But when you get that chance to rebuild, you never rebuild it the same you did it the first time. And so you try to make it better. And I think that will always be the opportunity when disaster strikes, is how do we look forward and come back better and stronger. And I have no doubt that the people of Western and North Central and Kansas that are severely impacted by this storm will think exactly like that and into the future.
All right, moving forward, what should people know? What should people know what's next from the, in the cleanup process and in the funding process or and what's coming from Farm Bureau in the state?
So, I would say generally our role is to try to find the gaps and help to fill them whenever possible and make sure folks have accurate and timely information about what's available to them. I think, agriculture and certainly Farm Bureau are always a family, and you can see it best in times like these. So we've heard from other state farm bureaus. I got a call this morning from one of our neighbors who said, hey, if you've got folks who need grass, we'll find some grass in our state, right? So kind of trying to figure out how to link ranchers in the impacted area with folks who are willing to help. You don't just send your cattle to, another state without probably knowing a person a bit. So we've got to figure out how to bridge the gaps of introduction and trust building among folks, and also then make sure that those receiving ranchers have the supplies they need. Some of these cattle are sick. Some of them will have health issues. So we've got to be prepared for that as well. And then there's an ongoing feed need. So that's important and critical. Looking at what comes next in terms of the weather. There are high winds forecasted for later this week. Are we prepared for fires if they restart? How do we help state government? We'll coordinate with the state legislatures in the area. We'll coordinate with the federal delegation to make sure that folks have the protection they need, but also then going forward have the opportunity to enroll in the programs that they need to help. And then we'll just continue to try to distribute funds in our through the foundation, but also through the other giving mechanisms and push folks there so that people have the resources that they need to sort of begin that rebuilding or the thought process about rebuilding and how do we do it better, how do we recover, how do we reset here. And move on to things that are brighter in the future.
There's a long process recovery to this. And I think the Katie, if folks are wanting to donate their time or treasure or talent to helping rebuild in what capacity, I think going to the KDA website and listing what they're willing to donate in those terms is a great example. We need to consistently, or trying to consistently, be able to communicate what is being offered, an opportunity to connect those that have the need and those that want to offer that. It's clear and concise of what they can offer and when they can do it and how, what their skills are. I think the better that's translated and the better we know what that is and what that offer is, we can help better translate to those in need. Farmers and ranchers aren't the most willing to go ask for help some days. That's often our weakness sometimes. We know it's out there, but our fortitude and the way we engage in our industry is I will figure it out. And what we have to continue to reassure folks is there is to help, their support. They want to help them accept it. And it's just as much helpful to those giving as it is to those receiving. I'd like to just mention, this has also taken an extreme toll on the local volunteer firefighters of the region, all over the state. Once you're in the dry conditions we're in now and you have a fire start, there are things that continue to smolder and that you just sometimes can't get put out. And they, when you talk about the square miles that were affected, so this fire season is not over. And these are all volunteer firefighters in this region and across the state that in a lot of ways are also involved in the farming and ranching industry. Some of them have had their own operations burned, yet they spend their time not taking care of their operation. They go and protect others. I think we owe them a tremendous debt of gratitude for what they have done before and what they continue to do and what they're going to do for us tomorrow, not knowing what's to come, but knowing that they have a duty and they do it protecting all of us. Without these kind of folks that step up on a volunteer basis to help protect our farms and ranches, this fire could have gone a lot further. It was a horribly windy day that I can't even imagine to think how many countless lives and property they saved by the hard work they did in horrible conditions. horrible conditions they were fighting this. They didn't even know where it was half the time. Yet they drive into the fire and stay in front of a 100-mile-an-hour wind fire front. I just absolutely commend their bravery and their commitment to protecting their fellow community members.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that any better. Huge debt of gratitude to those first responders. We need to keep them certainly in mind, you know, especially as conditions continue to change. I think, you know, you mentioned early on that this is the third occurrence in the last several years. And something tells me it's probably not the last. We continue to see these sorts of conditions set up. One of the things we've got to think about once we get out of the immediate need, immediate recovery kind of phases is how we better position the state to respond when these sorts of things happen in the future. You know, it's probably time to write a plan down in some way and be ready, be better prepared going forward in the future. So that's one of the things we'll begin to work on as well.
All righty. Well, perfect. Thank you both so much for your time.
Thanks, Noah.
Thank you to Terry and Brendan for talking to me about the response process. As they both said, you can find resources and recovery efforts by visiting the Kansas Department of Agriculture's website at agriculture.ks.gov. Kansas Farm Bureau is committed to supporting Kansas farmers and ranchers in the recovery process. Look to our social media pages and website as updates become available. Thank you for joining us today. That is all the time we have. This has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.